yesterday, I still wear watches that have to get batteries, and I found a place that I can get them for $5. And after this story, you may be asking me why I still go to this place. Yesterday, we were going into the place, and we saw this man on the ground, and they were doing CPR on him. And a lot of people were gathered around there, and so we were thinking, I was thinking when I initially went in there, he just fallen down, you know, needed something had happened to him. Well, then we started hearing people. That wasn't the case. The whole story is, and they still don't know all the story, is supposedly this guy bumped into a car of this other man. The other man gets out of the car. They start arguing, and the man shoots him and kills him. You know, and me and Mona started talking about, you know, as you see these things go along in our world and what's going on in our world today. And one of the statements I made was, crime and murders go up as our economy gets more and more unstable. And then she made the comment that we do not respect human life anymore, which I believe are both true statements. But I think the real thing that it comes down to is that we live in a broken world, a world that needed a savior. If we turn over to Genesis 3, 1 through 4, we see that sin entered this world. And the serpent was more clever than any animals that were out there. And it says in Genesis 3, 1 through 4, the serpent was more clever than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. Do not even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. And we know the rest of the story. Eventually, the woman partook of the fruit, and then the man partook of the fruit, and sin entered the world. Sin has always been there. We can look throughout the Old Testament. We can see that throughout it, Israelites sinned and sinned and sinned. And I took one verse from 2 Chronicles 33 through verse 6 to see how bad sin got at a certain point in the Israelite nation. And it says, and this is talking about Manasseh, king of Judah. And it says, "He sacrificed his sons in the fire of the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger." So we see that even back then, sin was grave, and sometimes we don't understand it because, you know, of sin takes us over. Throughout the Old Testament, we see after sin, the Israelite nation continued to do, and because of the sin, they and we needed a savior because we are a broken people. In John 3, verse 16 through 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And then another verse I looked at is 1 Peter 2, verse 24, that says, "He himself bore the sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed." So we are here today to remember our Lord Jesus that came to this world to give us a chance of eternal life. This should be the most important thing we do this week. Everyone should test the attitude of their own hearts and actions and their awareness of the significance of the supper, thus making the supper under God a spiritual meaning of grace. We partake this to remember Jesus and what he did for us. And what are we remembering when we do this? We're remembering that Jesus showed us how to live our lives a perfect service to God. In Luke 22, verse 42, we see that before Jesus is supposed to be upon the cross, he prays to his Father. And he says there, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." The People's New Testament note says, "But as that thou wilt." This is an example of perfect faith, the faith by which alone answers to prayers can be obtained. He that insists on his will when it is contrary to the will of God, fails in faith. And then ultimately, Jesus dying upon the cross because he went forward and did his Father's will. And we'll read Luke 23, 32 through 46. And it says there, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him, which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit your spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. So we're here to partake of this so that we can remember Jesus and how we're supposed to live our lives. We're also here to remember our sins. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. In Isaiah 59, 1 through 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Our sins is the reason Jesus had to die. Our sins put him on that cross so his blood could wash away our sins. In Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The people's New Testament note says, by this complete submission, our sins are removed from us and we are made holy. This means that sanctified here is remission of sins. In Christ surrendered his body, was offered on the cross once for all, for sin. And by the offering, our sins are remitted. We also remember that he established a new covenant. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, it says, in the same way, after supper, he took his cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. My Bible and the notes that it has states this. As the feast of the Passover was a commemorative meal, so also is the Lord's Supper is a memorial supper, recalling and betraying Christ's death for sins. The announcement and definition of the new covenant, which is different from the old covenant, that superior benefits are, God's law will become inner principles and enables his people to delight in doing his will. God and his people will have intimate fellowship. Sinful ignorance of God will be removed forever, and forgiveness of sins will be an everlasting reality. And then the final thing that I'll mention that we need to be thinking about during the time that we're partaking the Lord's Supper is that we need to be looking to the future. In John 14, verse 1 through 3, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house is many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. As a tent is temporary and flimsy, so our bodies are frail, vulnerable, and wasting away. But God had built a solid structure, permanent and not temporary. The work of God, and therefore perfect and permanent. We live in a broken world, but the Savior has come to the world to provide us a way of how we're supposed to live our lives, a time to remember sin, a new covenant, and looking to the future to give us hope in a better place. So as we partake of this Lord's Supper, remember this and take it in a way worthy of Jesus.